Hope, isn't it? The old rugged cross. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 3. Acts, chapter number 3, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Acts, chapter number 3. Begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." I want to preach on the world's greatest need is Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you'll meet with us and you'll help us, Lord, tonight. Help us, Lord, to preach in power, with great unction, Lord, with great clarity. And I pray the next few moments we have together would be blessed by thee in a supernatural way. Now look around this congregation tonight. Most everyone here professes to know their Savior. I realize we have what the world needs. And I pray that you'll help us to give it to all that we can. I pray for those that are here tonight that do not have that testimony of knowing Christ, that don't have that peace and assurance of heaven, Lord, of Christ as Savior. And I pray that tonight you'll work in their lives. Speak to them, and I pray that conviction would begin to work in their hearts and they begin to understand they're lost and they need thee. And help me, Lord, help me to be obedient and help us all to respond in obedience to thee. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The book of Acts is a very interesting book. We see the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts in the New Testament church, what we call the early church, that first century church. The book of Acts is a continuing saga today. There's no conclusion to the book of Acts. There's no final amen. There's nothing that concludes it. When Paul writes so many of his letters, he'll conclude it with the final saying. The gospel records are concluded with the finality of maybe the Lord Jesus leaving us with the Great Commission. But when you read the book of Acts, you see it's called the Acts of the Apostles by many, but it's truly the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament church. And we can see that it is still at work today because we are still that church. We are from that line of this New Testament church that we find here in the book of Acts. And when we look at these first 10 chapters, we realize that this was really the beginning. We believe that the church started with Christ and His disciples, was empowered on the day of Pentecost, and is continuing until this day, and will continue until the Lord Jesus Christ returns and raptures the church out of this world. In these first 10 chapters, there were some supernatural things happen that we won't see happen today. There's a transitional period, if you will. And there were things that had to take place. For instance, we see one man standing and speaking, and many people from many nations there could understand what he said in their own tongue. That was a supernatural act of God because this was the gospel beginning to go out into all the world and go beyond the Jews into all nations. And so there had to be these supernatural things happening. And while we may not get doctrinal precedents from these first few chapters of the book of Acts, we find great examples and great things that will help us that if we will do these things, if we will be true to what the Bible says, God can do great and mighty works in our midst too. The greatest miracle is not a lame man walking, but the greatest miracle is a dead man receiving life. A lost man on the way to hell trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. It's the greatest miracle that there is. So as we look at this, we see as it begins, we see Peter and John are being faithful to the house of the Lord. The Bible says at 3 p.m. that they're walking together. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Apparently, it was the time of day where the people would go to the temple and pray. In other words, we find Peter and John being faithful to the house of God. We find them being faithful. They were where they were supposed to be. They were in the place they were supposed to be. They wanted to be there because they knew that when they're there, the Lord may do something in their life. One thing I've always found, every time I miss a church service, somebody always tells me something good that happened. And I always think, I wish I'd have been there, you know. I wish that I'd have been in that service. But you know, I found out, y'all have a great service here, and I may be in a service somewhere else in Tennessee when we're on vacation or something, and find out that God can work there and God can work here. And He's just a big God, isn't He? It's amazing what God can do. In this story, we find that Peter and John are headed to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so we find out that here they are. They're on their way to the temple. They're on their way to this place that they're supposed to be. And they leave us some good examples. And as we look at this, the greatest thing the world needs is Jesus. I want you to see, first of all, I want you to see the wanting. The wanting. The Bible says in verse number 2, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. We find here that this is a picture of the world. The world is always wanting something. The world is always looking for something and always asking for something. The world is looking for something truly that's real, but the world thinks that they can get it with money. The world thinks that the more money they have, the better off they are. You know? Take from one, give to the other. Don't matter what anybody else has as long as I have what I want. And this man here is wanting, and the parents are wanting. And here's a man that has been lame from the mother's womb, lame since he was a baby. And so I think about this. From the very time that he existed, he was lame. And that reminds me of sinners. We're born sinners. We're born into this world. We're born into sin. We're under the grace of God until we come to that understanding. But we're still sinners. And we're born that way. We're not born righteous. We're not born holy. We're not born perfect. We are born sinners. We have to understand that. And as we grow, we have this want. And I believe every child wants to know God. And I believe the world hardens our children. And I believe parents have hardened children to the things of God. But I believe a child is born with the desire to know the Lord. I've never met a little kid, 4 or 5 years old, if you talk to them about the Lord, that they didn't want to know the Lord. Never met one. Never. Have you? You ever thought about it? We're born, that innocence. We want to know the Lord. And when it's explained, you know, we want to know that. But here's the man. We can see this is a representation of the world. Wanting something. They'd set him at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. He saw Peter and John about to go in the temple, and he asked alms of Peter and John. So we see that this is a picture of the wanting of the world. The world wants. The world wants. Now I want you to see the working of God's people. Notice what the Bible says in the next few verses. The Bible says in verse number 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. So we find that here's this man, that, and he starts looking at Peter and John. The lame man's looking at Peter and John, and he's looking for help. I want you to understand tonight, the world is looking at us for help. We say we know Jesus. We say we have the answer. We say we have what the world needs. Well, the world is looking, and we need to be ready to give it to them. But if we're not living the way we ought to live, then the world's not going to be looking to us for the answers, are they? The Bible says in verse number 4 that Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." So we see Peter got his attention. Peter recognized, here's somebody that has a need, and he says, "Look to us." You know, what we need to be willing to do is tell others, we have what you need. We're shy about this. We back off when it comes to talking about the Lord. But we ought to be confident in saying, "Look here. I know what you need." You ever talk to somebody and all they have is problems? You know? It's the kind of people you don't ever want to say, "How you doing?" Because they'll tell you. You understand? We need to be willing to say, "Well, I know what you need. I know exactly what you need." It's more than what you need; it's who you need, isn't it? But I know we need to be walking consciously in the presence of God. We need to be walking in such a way that we know that we are in His presence, moment by moment and day by day. Peter got his attention and said, "Look on us. Look here. Look to us." Peter fastening his eyes. You ever do that? There's times I'm sitting up here and I'm looking back at the sound booth. I get right here and I'm thinking we're getting ready to hear something go on here, and it's not what we want to hear. And I'm looking and I'm looking to fasten their eyes on me, because I'm going to say, and they know what that means, right? Y'all know what that means, right? It's ring. You can right hear a ringing. And sometimes I don't get their attention. Sometimes my wife, at the end of a service, has got something like a note she's going to have for me tonight that's going to say, "Visitation," right? And sometimes I fail to look that way. I'm trying to learn at the end of every service to look to her, because she's going to help me out, you know? She keeps me out of more trouble than anybody in the world. But Peter fastened his eyes. Here's a guy. Now look, he saw Peter and John going in. He said alms, but he was saying alms to everybody. He was asking something from everybody. He was asking for some kind of help, something, some kind of a gift. He was crying out for help. And I'm sure he saw Peter and John going in, just like he saw Jim and Mary and Bob and Sally and all the other ones walking in, you know, that was going in the temple at the ninth hour. But Peter wanted to be sure that he got his attention, and Peter fastened his eyes on him. Here's a guy hollering for alms, and Peter looks to him, because Peter's thinking, "I know what this man needs, and I've got it." So Peter gets his attention. We have got to learn to be conscious of other people around us. There's people all around us that are wanting. And the work of God's people is to recognize not what they want, but what they need. We need to get tuned in to these things, you know? You ever had a football coach grab you by the face mask and get right in your face and slobber running down with backer spit, and they say something like this? They say, "Boy, it's time for you to get tuned in." I knew what he meant, you know. He said, "I got to pay attention to what's going on right here, right now. It's time. If not, I'm going to run laps." I didn't like run laps. I didn't like run sprints. I used to run all the time in the mornings, but I didn't like to be told to run sprints, you know. There's a big difference between doing it when you want to and doing it when you're told to. They say, "You need to get tuned in." We had a coach, man, that was his word. "Tune in. You need to get tuned in. You're not paying attention to what's going on. Get tuned in." And sometimes I think the Lord's trying to grab us by the face mask and say, "It's time to get tuned in." All around you is a world that is wanting, and you've got what they need. This man thought he needed alms. This man thought, boy, if I could just get more. And the parents, no doubt, was using this man to get something for them. And the Bible says he expected something from him. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. And he gave heed after Peter fastened his eyes on him and said, look on us. This man gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He thought, boy, hey, I'm going to get me something. I don't know if he had a cup, he had a bowl, I don't know if he had his hands, I don't know what he had, but I know this, he was looking for something. And when Peter said, look on us, he thought, I'm getting something. But I want you to know, he got a whole lot more than what he thought he was going to get. He got a whole lot more than he bargained for. The Bible goes on in verse number 6. Now imagine this first part of the statement, when he heard it, his heart probably sank. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Oh, you know, that's what I want. But such as I have, give I unto thee. Peter said, I've got something better than silver. I've got something better than gold. Our government would do good to figure out it's not more money that people need. It's more righteousness and holiness in the Lord. Our world would do better to figure out that we need the Lord. God will provide our needs. Now, I'm not saying we got to help people that need help. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying we try to bail everything and everybody out. People have to learn sometimes. We can't do certain things, but what this world needs is the Lord. Money's not going to solve our problems. Do you know how many wealthy people are miserable? Oh, yeah, I know. Share it with us. You know, we'll help take some of your misery away. You know, that's what we're thinking. But they're miserable. And they have more than you and I, than probably most everybody in this church could ever earn in a lifetime. Put together. People. You know what they say? I'm miserable. Because they have everything that the world has to offer, but they don't have what they need. Isn't that the way it is? We need to get tuned into this. We need to realize that there's a people out there that are wanting something, and what they think they want may not really be what they need, but we know what they need. And that's the working of God's people, is to recognize the need. We may not have much according to the world's standards, but if we have Jesus Christ, we have what this world needs. And notice what the Bible says they did. First of all, they reached down, and then they lifted up. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 7. After he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And notice the Bible says, and he took him by the right hand, he lifted him up. So here's the man, he's down. Here's what we need to understand. The working of God's people, sometimes it's reaching down. It's getting your hands dirty. We can't be afraid of that. We've had people from all walks of life come through the doors of this church. We've had people that has probably some wealth and people that have no wealth. We've had people that's had decent lives. We've had people that have been drunkards. We've had drug addicts that's been in here. We've had all kinds of things that's walked through the doors of this church. You know what it is? They're searching. They're looking to drugs to feel what they think they need. They're looking for money. They're looking for alcohol. They're looking for immorality. Immoral things. But what they need is Jesus. And here's a man that, I wonder how many people had walked by this man. But Peter and John said, we've got what you need. And they reached down and they lifted up. It took effort to reach down, but it took more effort to lift up. And we have to learn that's the working of God's people. Reaching down, lifting up, recognizing the need, getting tuned in to those that are around us. Now, I get bad about that sometimes, you know. I try to say good things, right things, but sometimes I don't say what needs to be said. I don't say what you need is the Lord. The greatest need in your life is not for physical healing. It's hard to say, isn't it? Somebody may be dying. Your greatest need is not to be healed physically, but it's to be healed spiritually. But how sad would it be if they were miraculously healed physically and still died without Christ? I'd rather die with some great sickness knowing that I have Christ than to live to be 100 years old in perfect health and die without Christ. By the way, I can't die without Christ now because I have Him. I'm His. He's mine. I mean, it's forever settled, you know? I'm excited about that. I have something that cannot be taken away. As we said in Sunday school a couple of weeks ago, the devil's work can be undone, but God's work can never be undone. But they reached down and they lifted up. And then notice what happened in verse number 7. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. When we give people what they need and what the world needs is Jesus, and when we give them Jesus, and they reach out and they take Jesus. This fella had to do something. When they reached down, he had to reach up. And when he did and he received what it was that they said, such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. But if he would have just sat there and wouldn't have received what they said, then he would have probably still been lame. But he was willing to act on what they said. And when people are willing to act on the truth of God's Word, when we give them the Lord Jesus Christ, they are immediately saved. Salvation is not progressive. It's instantaneous. And the moment somebody prays and asks Jesus Christ to come into their heart and to be their Savior, they don't get saved on the installment plan, dear friend. They get saved fully, all the way. They get all that they ever need of Jesus at that very moment. Such as I have, give I unto thee. See, Peter and John saw the real need. The wanting, what the world needs. The greatest need of the world is the Lord Jesus. The wanting is, the world is wanting. They're wanting for something. They're wanting something. And they're looking everywhere to fulfill that emptiness. And the working of God's people is to say, this is the only thing that can fulfill that void in your life. You and I have the answer if we have Christ living in us. You say, well, I don't know how to go down the Romans road and do this and do that and do the other. But you know what? If you've ever been saved, you can tell people what the Lord's done for you. It's not about being all these things. It's not about being a theologian. It's about knowing the Lord. See, you can talk to somebody about something you know about. You ever talk to a grandparent? What do they like to talk about? What do they like to talk about? I'm glad one of you know. But everybody in here is grandparents. None of you would like to talk about your grandchildren, I guess. You ever talk to a fisherman? What do they like to talk about? Oh, you're catching on now. You ever talk to a hunter? What do they like to talk about? Somebody that thinks they're a hunter? What do they like to talk about? Hunting. Yeah. You ever talk to a Christian? There's not many of us that really talk about Jesus. We can talk about everything. We'll come to church, we'll talk about ball games. To be honest with you, when we come to church, our mind ought to be on Jesus. Yesterday's game, whether you win or lose, should be a thing of the past. This afternoon's game, even when you lose and look pitiful at it, ought to be out of our mind. It's so much easier to say than it is to do when you're avid about it. I know that. I am avid about it. But when you have teams like I have, you don't want to talk about it too much anyway. But we come to church and we'll talk about everything. We'll talk about Avon. We'll talk about Tupperware. We'll talk about football, baseball, basketball. We'll talk about Little League World Series. We'll talk about everything. When we get here, our mind ought to be on one thing, and that's Him. And when the people come in from the world, They ought to come here and they ought to say, boy, there's something about that church. All they want to talk about is Jesus. Amen. He must mean something to those people. Amen. And then when we go out into the world, we need to learn to be able to talk to other people about certain things. Look, I want to talk to people that know that like football. I want to be able to talk to them about football. But I want to realize the greatest thing I can talk to them about is Jesus. That's the working of God's people. We have got to get to where we talk to people about the Lord. That's the working of God's people. That's what we're here to do. We need to realize that the greatest need that everybody has is the Lord Jesus. And when we give it to somebody and they receive it, guess what? Immediately they're saved. That's pretty good. Here's the thing. Sports teams will let you down. One will always get off the hook. There'll be a tree get in the way of that shot. And a grandchild will not always go the right way. But Jesus will never fail you. Dear friends, when we give somebody Jesus, we're giving them exactly what they need. Then notice the worship. We've seen the wanting, we've seen the working God's people. Notice the worship in verse 8 and 9. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. When somebody gets saved, they're excited, aren't they? They should be. I remember the night I got saved. Look, you don't have to shed a tear. You don't have to do anything because salvation is not about emotion. Salvation is about faith. I understand that. But when I got saved, I cried and I cried. I was so happy because I felt like I was being pushed into hell and I felt like the weight of the world was on top of me. And that night I called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and he took my burdens away and I was so excited I just couldn't contain myself. I'm a pretty excitable person sometimes. You know? I know y'all think I'm quiet and sophisticated and never show my emotions. I know you think that. But the night I got saved, I was so excited. I couldn't stand it. And I cried. I was happy. I was smiling. I'll never forget it. It was a great night. And I've seen people come and trust the Lord and stand up there with a straight face and not show a bit of emotion, but they're just as saved as I was. We all worship the Lord in our own way, right? Some people shout. Some people cry. Some people are quiet. Man, I remember this one guy that I went to. I didn't go to church with him. He'd come to our revival meetings, and he'd get excited. When he got excited, his head went sideways, and his face got real red. But that was it. You knew he was all excited. And then there's people. Well, I've told you about the lady in our church that I grew up in. Her name was Willie, and they called her Aunt Bill. And we called her Aunt Bill. She was my aunt. My uncle was her fourth husband. She outdied. She outlived all of them. They all died. She outdied them. She outdied all of them. She outlived them. She finally, this last one, Mr. McKay, she died, and he's still alive. And she was the one, she liked to shout. But I was always so glad because she warmed up. It's always good when somebody warms up because, boy, when you just shout and you're not ready for it, it scares the liver out of me. I'm sorry. But she would be sitting there, and she loved it. There were some of them songs, like How Great Thou Art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. And then you could hear, you knew it was coming. And take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. I sat two rows in front of her. When I was younger, my voice was a little bit higher. I could imitate her just perfectly. Then I shall bow in humble adoration. Then sings my soul. And I'm going to tell you something. She got into it, and the next person to get into it, and it wasn't mad chaos, but they were excited about the Lord. We had Shelton John that would come to our revival meetings from Temple Baptist Church. He was the one that said, I sat right in front of him, and he didn't give any clue he was going to shout. I was sitting like about where Brother Bob is. John was sitting about where Brother Joe is. Man, that preacher got to preaching, and it got good. I mean, I'm telling you, it was good. I felt like heaven was coming down, and I didn't even know I was in church, hardly, you know. But then he started talking about heaven, and he started explaining the things of heaven. He started talking about the beauties of heaven, and I mean, it got really good. I wasn't even saved, but I was all excited, you know. And I'll never forget, I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, he didn't have that high, shrill hearing. Woo! And I went, wow! I really did. It scared me. But he got to going. Others got to going. Worship. It could be, woo, praise the Lord. It could be, woo! It could be, just crying. But you understand, we're emotional people. And we can get all excited at ball games. We can all get all excited when our team wins, when somebody hits a home run in the ninth inning, or we kick a field goal as the clock runs out. Our team shoots a 30-foot three-pointer as time goes out and we win the world championship, and we think, boy, it's the greatest day of our life. Greatest day of our life. Won the world championship, won the national championship, won the World Series, won the Olympic gold medal. But boy, when somebody gets saved, that ought to be worship. People get saved and we get so quiet, don't we? We get so quiet. Now, if you're a quiet person, I don't have a problem with that. But if we get all excited over a ball game, I have a problem with it. Don't you? Yeah. If you can go and talk about hunting 24 hours a day, and you can't talk about Jesus 1 hour a day, there's something wrong. Or fishing, or grandchildren, or there's something wrong. I'm just saying, worship. We worship the Lord. We ought to worship the Lord. We worship the Lord. I believe when we start talking about Him, we're worshiping Him. And we're not to have any idols before Him. No false gods. Nothing's to come in that place. Nothing. We need to learn. The working of God's people is to recognize the need. And as we begin to talk, worship the Lord in their presence. Now, by the way, let me give you a little clue here. Don't go start shouting in somebody's home because they're going to think you're crazy until after they're saved, and then they don't care. All right? You know, going, when I say worship the Lord, we worship the Lord by talking about Him, bringing Him up, doing the best we can. But then I want you to see the wandering. Here's what's going to happen. You start doing these things. You see the wanting of God's people. You recognize and you do the work that you're supposed to, the wanting of the world, and then you do the work that God's people have you to do. And then when you do the work of God's people, then it's going to cause some worship. It's going to cause some excitement. It's going to cause something to happen. All of a sudden, things are going to be being said. And that's what the Bible says in verse number 10. And they knew it. All those people that saw this man walking and praising God, they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. You know what? It doesn't say wondering like they were wandering around. They were wondering, what in the world has happened here? And I found out that sometimes when we get so excited, we start praising the Lord, or something happens, somebody gets saved, there's always those crowds. There's the worldly crowd, and they're going to say, what happened to him? You ever had anybody say that about somebody saved? What in the world happened? You know, they used to be a rabble-rouser. Now look at them. What in the world happened to him? That's the worldly crowd. And then there's that super spiritual crowd. Well, just give it a little bit of time. It'll wear off. It won't last very long. You know? It'll go for about, I give them a couple weeks, maybe a month. I get 6 months at the most. They'll be out of church. They won't be doing anything. They just say they're something. They just act like they're something. You know, they just think they're something. It ain't real. But then there's that believing crowd. And they rejoice. There's going to be people wonder when things happen. But you just keep on doing the work that God wants you to do. And don't worry about what anybody else has to say. The only concern we need to have is, what does the Lord think about what we're doing? Are we doing His work? Are we doing what He's placed us here to do? What has He placed us here to do? Well, haven't we identified it tonight? Let's think about it. He's placed us here to recognize what the world needs. He's placed us here to pay attention to those that are around us so that we can give them what they need. He's placed us here to reach down to where they are. They're in sin. They're sinners. And He's placed us here to lift them up, to give them Jesus. That's what we're to do. That's our work. The job you have is secondary to the work that God has for you. Oh, yes. It's secondary. God gives you a job to be able to get His work done. Yeah, that's right. Every person you meet, you don't have to throw a gospel tract in front of everybody you meet, but every person you meet, you ought to honor the Lord with your life. Witness. That's why you're witnessing. You worship the Lord. You don't preach to everybody. We can't preach to everybody. We have a job to do. We have business to run. We have things we have to do. But if we'll keep our Christian testimony, we'll be able to talk to that person about the Lord when the right time comes, when the God opens up the door. We'll be able to do that. We have to recognize the need. See, what happens is people come into our office and they maybe come in for a business purpose, and then all of a sudden, you know what they do? They begin to open up to you and they begin to say something about something that's going on in their life. God's saying, I know what they need. You recognize it? You recognize? They're looking for something. They're telling you this for a reason. That's where we have to get tuned in. I'm going to tell you, I have a hard time getting tuned in sometimes. Jody and I went and visited a house not too long ago. We got back in the car, and I was doing the talking. And she said, we had a perfect opportunity to say something to that person. And she said, I didn't want to interrupt you. She was tuned in. I wasn't. And I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. Sometimes I get to yapping too much that I forget to get tuned in. It's hard to believe you can talk too much. There are some people around here that probably realizes that. Every one of us were looking around. Who in the world I be talking? I talk too much sometimes. Some others do too. And we have a lot of fun talking to them about how much they talk. God gives people that gift. Y'all be glad you can speak, say things, carry a conversation. I have to work at it. I know people don't think it, but if I could be who I really just want to be, I'd be the shyest person in the world. I can go to a house and never say a word, except for thank you, compliment. I can do it. But God said, I've got more for you to say than just sit there and be quiet. And I've worked hard at it, and I've got a long way to go. But we need to be doing this work. Everybody can't come out on Monday nights when we have our visitation. I understand that. But let's be faithful witnesses everywhere we go. And everything we do. Don't do one thing that'll keep your testimony from being able to talk to that person about the Lord. I've wanted to call people a jerk before. I've wanted to chew them out. But I thought if I ever want to talk to that person about the Lord, they'll never want to listen to me. And there have been times I've said things to people that'll keep me from ever being able to talk to them. Nothing just mean, but things I shouldn't have said. I wasn't doing the work as a child of God when I did those things. I don't know what I'm trying to say with this. It's what God's put in my heart. You understand what we're saying here? We may not see a lame man healed. By the way, we still can see miracles. There's still things happening. The greatest miracle is somebody being saved. Y'all remember Susie Ickey that was here just a few weeks ago? They had found four tumors in her head, and people have been praying for her and praying for her and praying for her. Went back to the doctor this past week. They said they can't find any signs of those tumors. Amen. They'd just given her just a few weeks to live or a few months. It's bad. Bad news. We say, well, what if they come back? Well, if that's what God wills, then that's what God wills, you know? But she's had her faith in the Lord. And I believe God's able to heal. I believe God's able to do great things. But see, she's already saved. So she has the assurance of being healed one day, having a perfect body. But God blesses us even now, don't He? You see, we have a great God. Well, before I go on, before I talk too much, Brother Chris, we need to come down to this thought. The greatest need in the world is Jesus. If you have Him tonight, it is your responsibility and my responsibility to give the world what they need. They can't go to the bar room and get it. They can't go to the psychologist, more than likely, and get it. They can't go to the counselors of the world and get it. It has to be somebody that knows the Lord. And we can give them what they need. But we need to get tuned into it. The closer the coming of the Lord gets, the more important it is for us to realize this. Because it's going to be more and more difficult to reach people. Let's stand to our feet. I know I've preached to Christians tonight on purpose.